This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. Want to talk about the issue of homeless youth and some of the things that are going on to help with the situation. Melanie Prummer and Thomas McGregor from Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Melanie, let's start with you and talk about, what took place yesterday.
Yesterday, we had an open house at what is called the Lotus Pad, and it's a youth housing campus is how we describe it, where we have an array of service providers, other nonprofits, including Peace at Home, FARA, and Tasha's House. And those services include some front porch services like crisis, peer counseling, and some other like tangible things like laundry services, food, clothing. And then there's some affordable housing available on that campus and an independent living program, which is a shelter model. So it's free for youth.
Now, going way back, we had Casa de Belen for a number of years. Ultimately, that closed. What happened after that?
Well, after CASA closed, you know, we were just a couple months into the pandemic when that occurred. And it was actually at the start of the school year in 2020-2021 that one of the leaders of the Roseburg Public Schools had a Zoom call. And we're talking about over 100 people got on a Zoom call. And we started talking about what are we going to do? What are we going to do next? And Melanie and I were two of the leaders at the end of that call. And maybe it was a series of calls over the course of a month or two. We founded something called the Homeless Youth Solutions Initiative. And we've been at work on coming up with smart strategies that could be sustainable to take care of all youth suffering housing instability in our community ever since.
So how did that evolve from there? I mean, people saw the need, and then you're in the middle of a pandemic, which obviously further complicated things.
Yeah, and Melanie's already kind of thrown out one of these housing terms, the front porch, you know. So what are you going to do for somebody that just shows up on a porch in the middle of a crisis needing emergency services? And we do have exceptional an agency here in town, the Oregon Department of Human Services, and there's some great personnel there who will go above and beyond to make sure that youth get what they need in a moment of need. But, you know, the community has to also step up and build its own programming and take care of those. And so we wanted to make sure that there were solutions that were in the moment to moment, but also the long term. How are we going to take somebody from that level of where they're at in their life with what they have and at hand and grow from there? And, you know, it's very interesting as we are here in the 2020s and housing becomes more of a focus, and we learn how critical that is and how it's an intersection of, you know, being able to have food, what type of food, but then also being able to maintain yourself in a workforce.
Now, for the issue of homeless youth as well, then the question comes in, is there a way to move them back to their, to go through, counseling or some things that might be needed, and to see whether or not they could be restored to their original family living situation?
You know, and that's a great question. And we have a partner, FARA. They are working on what they call a host home model, and having a place where people in the community can be creating their own capacity to help with these challenges by welcoming a youth in crisis into their home and maybe being a transitional service, which we consider something, you know, a couple months. But as many times when youth are trauma affected and in crisis, sometimes going back to the household that they fled is not the solution. And so, you know, there's civil rights here involved. There's all kinds of factors that intersect when it comes to housing.
So yesterday, Melanie, talk more about what happened at the open house.
Yesterday was an opportunity for our community partners in particular and our funders to come to the campus. We have youth already living there. I believe right now we have 9 youth living on campus. And so we can't just have people come drop by and visit at any time. So we thought we'd host this open house for 2 hours. And we had over 100 community partners and some community members drop by. And the idea was to tour each of the houses and meet some of the staff from the three organizations hosting programs there to learn more. And I know that my goal was for, you know, everyone from law enforcement to ADAPT, crisis team, UCAN, DHS, child welfare, self-sufficiency to come, and they're working with youth who may be in crisis or may be looking for services specific to them, to their age. And the goal is to lay eyes on it because it's easier to explain to someone something that you've seen, right? And so the idea was to come look so that they can go back and explain it to the young people they're serving.
Yeah, and how would a young person that is in that situation and wants a better situation than what they're in, how do they get connected to one of these programs?
Yeah, so a referral through a community partner is great if they do know about us. There's a lot of work to do to educate people, so I appreciate you, Kyle, having us on the show today. But I think reaching out to any three of the organizations, so whether you call the Peace at Home Crisis Line or you call Tasha's House or you reach out to us via email or through our websites, but FARA, Family, Faith, and Family Advocates, actually have a crisis line specific to youth through the Domus Bay program, and so that number is 541-229-0126.
Now, for these organizations operating this, I imagine there is some potential there for community members to help in some way, even behind the scenes.
Yes. So all three organizations are always looking for volunteers. I think all three organizations are also seeking individuals who may be interested in serving on our board of directors and offering leadership. But there's opportunities to volunteer on the campus. There's opportunities to maybe sponsor some of the activities on the campus. We're always looking for sponsors to pay for our utilities on the campus. There's opportunities to volunteer in the clothing closet and food pantry. And then there's lists that we all have that young people may need. Maybe they're moving from one program to the other and they need kitchen utensils and bedding. But like I'd mentioned, we also have events. Tasha's House has events on a fairly regular basis. And so helping spread the word on social media about those events is also really helpful.
And what about funding for all three of these efforts? Where does that all come from?
Yeah, so funding's been an interesting thing, and it's been even more interesting since January 21st, 2025. Right now, all the agencies are very active looking at housing and urban development funds from the federal government. They finally come open with a notice of funding opportunity. And so we're looking to get some sustainable funding brought to Douglas County that can be relied on, and we can make sure we have these programs available. Right now, the Homeless Youth Solutions Initiative is about to publish our updated roadmap. It's kind of like a strategic plan for how do we do this as a community. And the thing that's still troubling, since the close of Casa de Belen, we do not have a youth shelter for unaccompanied minors. So you think about that, an individual who's 16 years old, they don't have an option, because you can imagine if you're operating a place for young people, you gotta have meet some rules, and you gotta have on call staff. You have to have staff present at all hours, and so that's a high cost. So the Lotus Pad did operate an unaccompanied minor shelter, but we had to shift because of funding shifts in 2024, and now it is only available for those 18 to 24 for shelter.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. We're going to preview the Douglas County Fair on tomorrow's program of Inside Douglas County. Melanie Prummer and Thomas McGregor from Peace at Home Advocacy Center here talking about the Lotus Pad and the other efforts to help with the homeless youth situation around Douglas County. Is there any way to quantify or get a pretty good grasp as to how many homeless youth we do have around the county?
You know, that's a very difficult number to come across, because what is the definition of homeless is actually, there's three different definitions, whether in state law or different federal agencies. And so homelessness can be actually a youth that has just a place on a couch somewhere, or maybe it's two families occupying a single family unit household, you know. So while we think of homelessness as something that we see out on a sidewalk, sometimes homelessness is something that is just unstable. You know, it's day to day. Do I have permission to be here tonight is a question at hand. And so, but what we do know is that in Douglas County, we do have some of the highest numbers per capita in the state, especially when it comes to homeless youth.
And think about being a teenager somewhere in that age range you've been talking about. And not, I mean, you got enough stress in life, even if you had a place to live. Think about what it would be like if you really didn't know if you could stay at the same place the next night.
Yeah, it's very interesting. When I joined the team at Peace at Home, you know, Peace at Home assists those fleeing domestic violence, those navigating an incident of sexual assault, but also those who are navigating a history of human trafficking. And it is very powerful what the board of directors of Peace at Home has decided as a part of their strategy is we need to have housing for young adults, because there is often cases of human trafficking be involved with housing instability. And what that can look like is, yeah, you can stay at my house, but asterisk, and then, you know, youth, young adults being involved in things they didn't want to be involved in.
Yeah, and then you go from a bad to worse situation.
Most definitely. And so, you know, again, here in the 2020s, it seems that us focusing on and having constructive, polite dialogue with all of ourselves about how to achieve a community with stronger housing capacity is a really necessary ingredient right now.
Now, I wanted to ask about the funding piece again, because so many things have shifted in federal models over the last few years, and the state models as well, coming out of the governor's office. It seems like that's really been a big challenge.
It is a big challenge. You know, there was an incredible investment by Governor Kotek in a program called Project Turnkey, where they saw in the pandemic, we have all these motels in the world, here in Oregon, and why don't we turn these into homeless shelters? And there was an incredible investment, and it increased the amount of beds available for the homeless populations by 30% in just one fell swoop. And, you know, in Douglas County, Peace at Home also was a benefactor of that grant and now has a site where we host our confidentially. And that's actually how the Lotus Pad was actually born. It was vacating a site that had been used for confidential services and now is openly used for youth services. So meanwhile, there's the state shelter program that has been funded and is now part of the budget of the Housing and Community Services. But of course, as all of Oregon is seeing less revenue and increased costs, you know, there is a lot of there's decrease in ability for local agencies to get those dollars and put them to work.
So, Melanie, how did this work out to have, with these three houses, to have three different groups kind of working together, but yet working by themselves?
Yeah, and there's this wonderful story about the three houses, which is for another day. We, as Thomas had mentioned, there is this group called HiSci that was formed in 2021, and we just kept meeting, hired a consultant, as we talked about, really started looking at strategies, and we were just persistent about meeting and thinking about solutions. And so in 2024, the three partners at the table, we all raised our hands and said, not one single organization, nonprofit can do this alone, but we can do it together. It's a heavy lift. And so Peace at Home opened that property up for those three partners to talk about how would this work? Like, how would these services flow together? What would it look like to share a campus? Thomas has done a great job of, you know, developing great policy and communication plans. We work well together. And I think the thing that's happened in the last 6 months that is so heartwarming to me, being a resident here for 20 plus years, is seeing three nonprofits share resources in a way that I have not seen before. So it was at one point we had a meeting and we were talking about utilities and how we're going to pay utilities, and all three programs raised their hands and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and we're going to do it together. And they're the monthly conversations we have. We meet monthly and we talk about how do we keep working together and deepening our impact together.
Now, for people that, what about opportunities for people to help out with any of these or these together programs financially?
Yeah, so financially, I think you could visit any of the program's websites and make a donation. You could certainly reach out to Thomas and I, and we can talk through all three organizations and how you can give to each of our programs. If you would like to sponsor the campus, we could certainly talk about what that would look like in terms of a capital investment. The property needs some work still. I'll give a shout out to Umpqua Health Alliance. They did do the first investment of $175,000 so we could build a laundromat for all three programs on the campus. But we still have a long ways to go in terms of developing the property. And like I said, operations. So reach out to Thomas and I.
Now, these we should mention too, these are not giant houses. These are more middle-sized homes. If I remember right, they actually got moved there from way back to the location they're at now.
Yeah, it's super fun. So in 1999, the school district in the city and Peace at Home, formerly Battered Persons Advocacy, came together and moved three houses to the property from Roseburg High School, that neighborhood. And I don't know, I think they're pretty big. There was this one house that was six bedroom, and the bedrooms are very large. I mean, we've had five people in a bedroom very comfortably. Of course, with bunk beds, and I'm talking about a family unit, not just squishing five strangers together, but when you have lots of kids in your family, you need space. And so one of those houses we converted into a duplex, which there's two households or two youth who can live on one side, and three youth or three households that can live on the other side. And the other two houses are a little bit smaller, but again, Farah right now I believe has six young people living in their four bedroom house.
So what about plans for the future with this whole project?
Yeah, so our plans for the future are to continue to find natural collaborations for young people to engage in things that are meaningful to them. So whether that's activities or other services, and continue the collaboration through HiSci. And we also, like I mentioned, looking at how do we build a really beautiful, secure campus for young people and working on those capital projects. So an example is we have one house, Tasha's house. That building's very old and it has lead-based paint on the outside. So that's a pretty big construction project. So that's in the future. And Thomas and I and the team of folks are writing grants to make that happen.
So Thomas, this has got to, in spite of the fact that this has been a huge amount of work, got to feel pretty good to be to this point.
Yeah, no, I think the months ahead for me are getting the Homeless Youth Solutions Initiative, HiSci, our roadmap out in the community and visiting city councils, visiting the commissioners, and visiting different agencies and showing off what we see are the parameters that we need to grow and deepen in the community and really educating people who want to help youth, who have the ability to help youth. There's just so much positive energy in the community right now that I think I am kind of a little optimistic. It seems that we're all turning towards each other because we all just want a stronger community, and definitely a stronger community for our youth.
All right. If people want to find out more, where should they get connected?
Yeah, you could reach out to Thomas and I by calling 541-957-0288, or you could email contactus@peaceathome.com.
All right, Melanie Prummer, Thomas McGregor, thanks for coming in. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.